songwriters from here and away. This is a show that focuses on new and established songwriters from Atlanta, Canada, across Canada, and around the world. Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Songwriters from Here and Away. This week we have an interview and some music with Mr. John Campbell. John has been around the music scene for a number of decades, playing in different bands, and then the last 20 years or so on his own, doing his blues thing in North America and Europe. He's got about 16 albums out, I think, now. And he has shared some time with us here to talk about songwriting, to share about where he's at, and just have a good chat. So we'll dive into Mr. John Campbell. John, right now.
Hey, John. We're here. We made it. I've got the best cup of coffee.
The strongest cup of coffee.
The hair on my chest coffee. I wish I could get hair on my head.
Yeah. Well, I got hair, no hair, but lots of glare.
So we're in your basement studio. It's very nice. There's a wall of CDs over there. There must be 700 CDs over there.
Pretty dormant these days.
Yeah.
A lot of streaming going on.
Have you got stuff loaded up on streaming services, all your material?
Yeah, thankfully, the leasing agreement I have over in Marienburg in Germany does all that.
Right.
Because I license my masters to them.
Right. Okay. So you've got the...
So thankfully they save me the trouble of going through all of that.
Right.
In fact, I had a separate account. I said, you got to get rid of that because people will be confused. But it was the same name.
Right.
So I ditched that, and my label over there handles all that headache.
Think of your names. Campbell John. Is that like a stage name that now you've adopted?
Yes, in 1990, when I decided to do my own thing, my solo thing.
Right.
I'm a Cape Bretoner.
Right.
And in Cape Breton, you look in the old phone book, and all you see is McDonald's and Campbell's,
mm-hmm.
and much smaller percentage of other names. Every second Campbell family has a John.
Yep.
And
every third Campbell, John Campbell, is playing some instrument.
Plays a Scottish fiddle, and yeah. Usually pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked the question because it's kind of a silly story, but I grew up as a fan of Sam Moon, Matt Minglewood, and Universal Power, and they had these crazy showbiz names that are, in the Maritimes, they're household names now. You know, Sam and Matt, and the drummer's name was Diego Gunn, and my first guitar hero was Billy Drake, who now lives in Newfoundland. His name was Rufus Kane.
Right.
That's his handle. So all these crazy showbiz names that were just awesome, and I loved it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was just like a teenager. So that stuck with me. And then I decided that in order to separate myself from the Scottish fiddlers, I decided that I need to change my name to something else. And
yeah.
I remembered a poem from by Bliss Carman. You ever hear of Bliss Carman, a poet? He was Canada's first unofficial poet laureate.
Hmm.
And he spent a lot of time in the East and Maine, Eastern Seaboard, excuse me if I'm not mistaken, but was, I believe, born and raised in New Brunswick, or spent much or most of his life in New Brunswick. And he was a pretty prolific poet.
Right.
And he wrote a poem called The Ballad of John Campbell John.
Oh.
Spelled slightly different.
Right.
Campbell. And I remember that poem, and I thought, well, that would be kind of an easy transition.
Right.
And so I did that. But boy, was I wrong. Because it's just a pet peeve, because people interpret it as my last name being John, like Elton John or
right.
Olivia Newton-John. And,
right.
And it used to be...
And think your first name was Campbell?
No, three names.
Okay, John
Campbell, John.
Yeah.
And then I'd see that in promo. I'm nothing like Elton John.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely nothing like Olivia Newton-John. I do a blues thing. And I got a big attitude about for years. And then I just realized it's not that big a deal.
No. Yeah. Well, no, your name. I mean, people know your name. You know, it's in the industry. So you've been writing much? How's that going?
Not much lately.
Been up and down?
I sit on the couch and I come up with guitar licks and a word or two, and then I grab my phone And then I send it downstairs here, mail it to myself, and I've got a list a mile long, and I open them up, and I go, where do I start with this? I have a couple of co-writers occasionally get together and develop ideas, but not been terribly active lately. The last release I had was a thing with my daughter. I Don't Want to Feel That Way is the name of the tune. We shot some footage down here on our cell phones and sent it over to ZYX, the my label. And they edited a half-decent video out of the raw, homemade cell phone footage, footage that I sent them.
Right.
And that was about a year ago.
the song that we just heard with your daughter, and your daughter's name is
Cassie
Campbell John, or
no just Campbell.
Just Campbell.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not going to wish that on any of my kids. It's too much of a mouthful.
But so did you wrote that with her?
Yeah. No, I wrote it with Neil Robertson, drummer that I worked with forever and a day.
Yeah.
Neil and I are good buddies. And
fabulous drummer.
He's the man.
Yeah.
And I asked him for some help because I was a little bit stuck, and he fired in a couple of ideas, and kabing, kabang, it was done.
Great.
And I just tracked it at home here and did the vocals at home. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the pandemic, my friends over in Germany sent out an email and said, look, we got to keep things rolling here, like every other artist and every other business in the world. You know, if you got anything, just one song, just send it to us. You know, if you think it's marketable or you're comfortable with it or whatever, send it to us. Let us listen to it because we need to keep
people interested. Yeah. You got to keep
your brand or whatever.
You got to keep feeding the trough, right?
Yeah. So they're called ZYX, and they got established, and they've been around since the 70s. In the dance music business,
right,
and then in the somewhere in the mid to late 90s, they decided to expand a bit, and they created this jazz blues label,
right,
and they hired an A&R guy, and he was on the lookout for artists. And long story short, my manager at the time, and who was a German, invited him over to the East Coast Music Awards,
right,
and as fate would have it, one of my albums was nominated for a blues award.
Right.
And then I won it.
And they picked you up.
And so I walked up, thanked them. Great. So the timing was perfect. And my manager, Buddy Leonard, going, see?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, because you've toured over there a whole bunch, right? I mean, like 10 times or something over in Germany and Europe and whatever.
Yeah, for the better part of 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It became
almost yearly.
Yeah, it became essential.
Yeah.
It's funny. There have been a lot of maritime artists go over there. It's certainly not unusual.
We've done a few tours. It's lovely. Yeah. We great audiences. We love it.
Yeah, you know the drill, yeah. But for me, it became a regular thing, so I grew to depend on it as a part of my budget.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
For the first time, it was just like a wonderful thing, and I had help with tour managing and administrative support and stuff, thanks to my buddy Leonard, who I've mentioned a few times.
Yeah.
And the first few years was an awesome thing, and then he went on to bigger and better things. I still see him occasionally. He's a good guy. So I took over. I became the road manager.
Self-produced indie.
And working with the label and blah, blah, blah. And it's a job.
Yeah.
You know, everything, I don't need to tell you.
No.
Everything, like, on stage, on a good night, it's a wonderful thing. Yep. It's everything else off the stage.
You know, I think people not in the business or musicians who haven't really worked at trying to tour, especially internationally, you have to work it a year and a half out or 2 years out.
Yes.
Because venues book up. You have to plan the route. You have to have a million emails back and forth. You have to figure out accommodations. You have to figure out plane flights and all that. And where can you work with or without a visa? Where can you work to a certain amount of income without having to pay duties and taxes? And then it's a lot of work to get those things together.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I make a commitment a year in advance to the agent. Are you coming or not?
Right.
And I said, yes, we'll do it.
And you block out. You say, here's 6 weeks or whatever it is.
And ka-ching, I'm 10 grand in debt.
Yeah.
I just hung up the phone and I'm 10 grand in debt.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of all the costs.
Right.
And then gradually the dates start coming in and, you know, subtract that amount of money from the debt.
Right, yeah.
And I'm going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And
when
it's stressful.
And when we did it, we're doing, like, self-directed house concerts and stuff, too, right? Which is a whole different management of time and effort. And
probably one of the most common questions I've got asked of people who aren't in the business through the years
right.
is do you bring your wife with you? And, you know, and it must be fun. It must be great.
Are you kidding?
My wife along got two nights of that.
Well, Kaylin came with me. We toured as a duo. And as you know, we're husband and wife. And we stayed in the same room and did all that. And we played together. And that helps.
If you're performing together, yeah.
You cannot take someone who isn't in the show with you. Like doing something active production-wise. Right?
If they're not in the business and they just enjoy music as an art for what it is, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. listen to the radio, I don't expect them to be administrative experts.
Yeah,
you just can't do that.
No,
you know I'm not going to subject my wife to 4 hours of sleep for a month per night for a month. She has to tolerate me sweating for a year, waiting for the dates to come in, and then I completely confiscate the living room the week before with all my loot, trying to get it all into two big bags and not being overweight, you know, at about $50 per pound or
right.
something, you know.
Yeah.
And she's glad to see me go by the end of it. She deserves a break.
Yeah.
Staying alone. The only place I wanna be is on that autobahn. Gotta get the wheels turning, better tighten up your shoes. What off a hamburger in a hurry to sing a mess of blues. They call me Autobahn John. They call me Autobahn John. They call me Autobahn John. I'm here, then I'm gone. So long. Up the gas, but when it comes mowing, cause I'm kicking it in the ass. Gotta make it to Munich, don't have a minute to lose. The man's waiting with the money, so I'll sing a mess of blues. They call me Autobahn John.
Autobahn John.
They call me Autobahn John.
Autobahn John.
They call me Autobahn John. I'm here, then I'm gone. So long.
That was Autobahn John by John Campbell John. And that's who you're listening to. An interview that we did here in Dartmouth where, well, we both live here in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And John's got his studio in his basement there. And some of that stuff was recorded right there. This is Songwriters from Here and Away, and we really appreciate you tuning in. We're going to take a short pause. We'll be right back.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present a selection from local act Left-Handed Archer's newly released third album, A Blue Arctic. Connor Barnes and Peter Sanfilippo return with a tight 33-second record of emotive and wide-ranging electronica, combining beats both menacing and relaxing. For fans of David Lynch, ambient Aphex Twin, Kelly Lee Owens, and The Field, you can enjoy some music while oceans rise and glaciers melt. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream A Blue Arctic now on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Miami Sinking Into the Ocean here now with us on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by your friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present Endless Summer, the second single from the Petras, capturing the fun, carefree vibes of summer in a bouncy pop rock tune. Released on the last official day of summer, the song captures the feeling that summer is a state of mind, not a date on the calendar. This release also marks the first single off the Petras' upcoming full-length album. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Endless Summer by the Petras right now on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
What should you listen to make your Monday mornings that much better? Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM. We play all kinds of comedy, stand-up, sketch, songs, even poetry, and the occasional interview. Mondays at 10:30 a.m. Tune in or listen to Absolutely Frivolous on our archives page on cfrc.ca.
St. Monday watches over you and me and grants the bone exhausted some liberty.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, and you're listening to me, Cindy, on Absolutely Frivolous. This is an all-audio comedy show, and we have tons of different comedy. We put on stand-up, songs, improv. We have interviews with funny people, all kinds of funny stuff. If we can find it, we put it on the air for you. Please check it out. Please keep tuning in, 101.9 FM.
From Kingston, you're listening to 101.9 FM, CFRC Radio, the happy medium.
Nick Swartzen left the Minneapolis-St. Paul area for New York City, where he would appear in such venues as the Luna Lounge, and then on to Los Angeles, where he headlined at many nightclubs. In addition to his stand-up, Nick began to get work in commercials and in small roles in both TV and film, such as an appearance in an episode of the Al Franken sitcom Late Line in 1999, and playing the role of crazed David Bowie fan in the 2000 film Almost Famous. In 2001, Nick's stand-up act was featured in a half-hour Comedy Central Presents special. He appeared on the show a second time in 2006, a performance that was featured on the DVD compilation The Best of Comedy Central Presents Uncensored 2, released in 2008. In 2003, Swartzen co-wrote the screenplay for Malibu's Most Wanted, along with the film star Jamie Kennedy and Adam Small. In 2004, Nick wrote, produced, and starred in a TV show pilot for Comedy Central called Gay Robot, which was based on a comedy bit by the same name that appeared on Adam Sandler's fifth album, Shh, Don't Tell, Comedy Central, however, decided to pass on the TV project. Nick Swartzen had intentions on making it an animated show, but the show never came to fruition. A copy of the live-action pilot was, however, made available on MySpace in January 2007. Nick Swartzen's sketch comedy show Nick Swartzen's Pretend Time premiered on Comedy Central in October 2010 and ran for two seasons. The show was produced in conjunction with Adam Sandler's Happy Madison Productions. In 2011, Nick Swartzen starred in, co-wrote, and co-produced the film Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star, also produced by Happy Madison Productions. That same year, he starred alongside Jesse Eisenberg, Danny McBride in the film 30 Minutes or Less. Here is Nick Swartzen on CFRC 101.9 FM.
What is going on, Austin? Thank you so much. Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be here, man. It's a good town. I was trying to figure out where I was going to do my special, and I wanted to pick a kick-ass party town. Yeah, I like to party, I like to drink. I love drinking. It's really my favorite thing. It's very enjoyable. I like drinking because, like, nothing bothers me. Like, I don't care. I can't be fazed. If I'm sober and someone's like, dude, your car's on fire, I'm like, who did it? If I'm drunk, like, dude, your car's on fire, I'm like, good, my car, bro. My car's a death. I hate my car. I also like drinking because it makes fast food taste amazing all of a sudden. Like, literally amazing. It's like not even a joke, it's a fact. Like, you have fast food sober, I'll go like Taco Bell. And I'll be like, what is this? It's sober, I'm like, I guess it's all right. When you're like blackout drunk, you're like, what is this? What magic treat has entered my hand? Are we in Narnia? Oh, my Lord. What five-star chef do they have back there? This is the food of gods. I used to work at Taco Bell, which is true. Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's great working there because you get free diarrhea. You do not have to pay for it. It's quite a perk. My favorite thing about working at Taco Bell was applying to Taco Bell to try to make the cut of the awesome people that apply there. But the best thing, and like, you know what I'm talking about, when you go like apply somewhere and on the application they always have that stupid like special skills or like special abilities. They always say that. Do you have any special skills that will enhance your performance at this job? Do you have any special skills? I was like, I'm a Taco Bell. Like, there's nothing special about me. I have no skills. I have a f***ing drinking problem. I need beer money. Like, yeah, I can cook food with my eyes. Like, I'm not a f***ing... I'm not an X-Men. I need booze, you know what I mean? Love it. I love drunk chicks. Drunk chicks are awesome. So great. So much enjoyment from drunk chicks. And I like the cocky drunk chicks. The ones that be like, fucking drink. I want to get drunk. Like, they'll get in your face, and they'll be like, I can drink as much as you can. I'm like, really? Because no, you fucking can't. You'll never be able to do that. You're psychotic. And then they'll be like, well, yeah, I can, pussy. Let's do a shot. Let's do a shot. Let's do a shot. Let's do five. Because, like, girls can drink hard for, like, an hour, maybe 2 hours. But always comes the spiral. Which is awesome. Love the drunk chick spiral. They get cocky, do, like, 10 Jaeger bombs, and whoa! I can't breathe. Not funny. Where's Kelly? I mean, think of it. We're always losing friends. She went to the bathroom 10 minutes ago. I think she's dead. I blew your dad.
What'd you say?
Wait, what was that last part?
I'm sorry. It was his birthday.
Girls love 80s parties. Look at that. Look at that reaction. I always get dragged to that stuff.
It's an 80s party. 80s. Oh, my God.
Love it. Yeah, I could be like, Osama bin Laden's having a party. What? Let's go, Osama bin Laden. A terrorist?
Not going to that, the guy's an asshole.
But it's like an 80s party.
What time is it?
I'll go for a half hour, I don't care. I always think I drink a lot, and then I'll see like behind the music of like Motley Crue. You know what I'm talking about? They just realize you're a huge pussy. It'll be like, behind the music of Motley Crue. I'll come home, I'm like, yeah, I just had like 20 beers. They're like, Nikki Sixx drank heroin from a fire hose.
Okay.
I'm a huge pussy. But my favorite thing was last summer I got the best party text I've ever gotten from a friend of mine. I ran into one of my friends, J-Mo, at a bar last 4th of July, and he was like, you know when you run into a buddy when you're bar hopping, you're like, what's up, I'm wasted, and you're just like, I'll see you later, and you just go. So that happened, and I called him the next day, or I texted him like, hey, how did your night end up? And this was his exact text, my favorite thing ever. How'd your night end up? And he texted me back, dude, dot, dot, dot. It's a good start. Dude, dot, dot, dot. Punched my best friend in the face, broke up with my girlfriend, and shit my pants. Yes! That is a gold medal right there of partying. When you go to the Party Olympics, you just brought home the gold. The best part is right after that, he wrote, I don't know which one to take care of first. Which is true, man. You got a dilemma right there. Which situation do you repair? I say girlfriend. Address that. Just so you can see the look on her face and she's like, is that shit? And you could be like, I made it for you.
don't appreciate anything.
My favorite, though, my mom gets super mad at me, so I drink too much. And so this is a true story. My mom got me and my friends a breathalyzer. I got it from my...
What is going on, Austin? Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be here, man. It's a good town. I was trying to figure out where I was going to do my special. And I wanted to pick a kick-ass party town. Yeah, I like to party, I like to drink. I love drinking. It's really my favorite thing. It's very enjoyable. I like drinking because, like, nothing bothers me. Like, I don't care. I can't be fazed. If I'm sober and someone's like, dude, your car's on fire, I'm like, who did it? If I'm drunk, like, dude, your car's on fire, I'm like, good, my car, bro. My car's a dick. Hate my car. I also like drinking because it makes fast food taste amazing all of a sudden. Like, literally amazing. It's like not even a joke, it's a fact. Like, you have fast food sober, I'll go like Taco Bell. And I'll be like, what is this? It's sober, I'm like, I guess it's all right. When you're like blackout drunk, you're like, what is this? What magic treat has entered my head? Are we in Narnia? Oh my lord. What five-star chef do they have back there? This is the food of gods. I used to work at Taco Bell, which is true. Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's great working there because you get free diarrhea. You do not have to pay for it. It's quite a perk. My favorite thing about working at Taco Bell was applying to Taco Bell to try to make the cut of the awesome people that apply there. But the best thing, and like, you know what I'm talking about, when you go like apply somewhere and on the application they always have that stupid like special skills or like special abilities. They always say that. Do you have any special skills that will enhance your performance at this job? Do you have any special skills? I was like, I'm a Taco Bell. Like, there's nothing special about me. I have no skills. I have a f***ing drinking problem. I need beer money. Like, yeah, I can cook food with my eyes. Like, I'm not a f***ing... I'm not an X-Men. I need booze, you know what I mean? Love it. I love drunk chicks. Drunk chicks are awesome. So great. So much enjoyment from drunk chicks. And I like the cocky drunk chicks. The ones that'd be like, fucking drink. I want to get drunk. Like, they'll get in your face and they'll be like, I can drink as much as you can. I'm like, really? Because no, you fucking can't. You'll never be able to do that. You're psychotic. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, I can, pussy. Let's do a shot. Let's do a shot. Let's do a shot. Let's do five. Because, like, girls can drink hard for, like, an hour, maybe 2 hours. But always comes the spiral. Which is awesome. Love the drunk chick spiral. They get cocky, do, like, 10 Jaeger bombs, and whoa! I can't breathe. Not funny. Where's Kelly? I mean, think of it. We're always losing friends. She went to the bathroom 10 minutes ago. I think she's dead. I blew your dad. What'd you say? Wait, what was that last part?
I'm sorry. It was his birthday.
Girls love 80s parties. Look at that. Look at that reaction. I always get dragged to that stuff.
It's an 80s party. 80s. Oh, my God.
Love it. Yeah, I could be like, Osama bin Laden's having a party. What? Let's go, Osama bin Laden. A terrorist?
Not going to that. The guy's an a-hole.
But it's like an 80s party.
What time is it?
I'll go for a half hour. I don't care. I always think I drink a lot, and then I'll see, like, behind the music of, like, Motley Crue. You know what I'm talking about? They just realize you're a huge pussy. It'll be like, behind the music of Motley Crue. I'll come home, I'm like, yeah, I just had like 20 beers. They're like, Nikki Six drank heroin from a fire hose.
Okay.
I'm a huge pussy. But my favorite thing was last summer I got the best party text I've ever gotten from a friend of mine. I ran into one of my friends, J-Mo, at a bar last 4th of July. And he was like, you know when you run into a buddy when you're bar hopping, you're like, what's up, I'm wasted. And he's just like, I'll see you later. And he just go. So that happened. And I called him the next day, or I texted him like, hey, how did your night end up? And this was his exact text, my favorite thing ever. How'd your night end up? And he texts me back, dude, .. It's a good start. Dude, .. Punched my best friend in the face, broke up with my girlfriend, and shit my pants. Yes! That is a gold medal right there of partying. When you go to the Party Olympics, you just brought home the gold. I know the best part is right after that. He wrote, I don't know which one to take care of first. Which is true, man. You got a dilemma right there. Which situation do you repair? I say girlfriend. Address that. Just so you can see the look on her face when she's like, is that shit? And you could be like, I made it for you. Don't appreciate anything. My favorite though, my mom gets super mad at me. So I drank too much. And so this is a true story. My mom got me and my friends a breathalyzer. I got it for my birthday. So we can monitor when we've had too much. Okay, guys? Let's be responsible. Which is like the dumbest gift because it just turns into like, how high can we blow it? That's great for that irresponsible gift. And I always come in second place because my friend always ends up blowing himself. And we're like, okay, you're way too drunk. You don't even need the breathalyzer. You need to chill out. I actually, I got alcohol poisoning. It's actually not great. It's not applaud-worthy. Alcohol poisoning, it's not fun. I don't recommend it. But it happens. And it was just so funny because it's like, you can die that way, which is like such a weird way to die. It's so stupid. But it's like funny to me, like just trying to explain that to somebody, like dying that way. Like, dude, you hear about Nick? No, what happened? He died. What? How? He was poisoned. What? Who did it? Nick. Oh my God. With what? Sea breezes. Sea breeze! Goddamn sea breeze. Don't shoot me from that balcony. Abe Lincoln seat right there. Too soon. So. I'm single, which is great. I like being single. The girls like tall guys, which is frustrating. Yeah, you never hear a girl like, I met this guy, he's so hot, he's so short. You can barely see him. He sleeps in my purse. The poor shots in my purse. Everyone thinks I'm gay, which is understandable. Yeah, of course. I played a gay roller skating prostitute on TV. For 6 years. That's not possible. Yeah. But another reason now people think I'm gay is because on my MySpace profile, under sexual orientation, I put not sure. Yeah. Yeah. Not because I'm not sure. I just love that that was an option. For sexual orientation. That's an option, not sure. They have straight, gay, bisexual. No idea, dude. No idea. Like, who is that for? You have no idea. Like, not even close. Like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, like, who is that for? Are there people out there like, dude, I just jerked off looking at my stove. What does that mean? Dude, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm gonna put not sure. That is a mystery right there. Whatever that wants. Do not know. No clue. And this happened to me. This is a true story. I'll tell a couple true stories here tonight. All of them 100% true. This happened to me, I think it was in the fall. And I play a lot of online video games. I don't know if anybody else plays like Xbox Live or anything. Yeah, girlfriends love those, by the way. I love girlfriend fights when you're playing Xbox. You can always hear the guy. What's that? I'm gonna play one more game. Yeah, just go to bed. Yeah, you can go to bed. I don't have to be there. Yeah, no, we're winning right now. We've won like... Is that a real gun? Okay, put that down. Put that down. Put that down. That's not funny. But like, you get into it. I mean, you go on these battles. And I get like way too into it. Where it's like, this is not healthy. Where I'm like, I throw stuff and just shout in my little headset. You get this little headset, and you can play online, so you can play with people all over the world, which is cool, but it's, like, frustrating, because you'll just get the shit kicked out of you by, like, some 9-year-old kid in Germany. You know, it's like, you lose. I'm like, really? Really, you f***ing Nazi? I will get out. It's a freak out. But so I do, like, I break stuff. I get so into it. So I live in an upstairs apartment, in, like, a duplex. Nobody lives beneath me. So it was empty for the longest time. So I would play video games, no joke, from like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night till like 6 in the morning. I'd play all night. So nobody lived beneath me, so it was cool. So one day this girl moves in. Christina is her name. Cute girl, small, like mousy, little mousy chick, but very sweet. So she moves in. I just keep doing what I'm doing, playing video games, breaking stuff, drunk, meet my friends, yelling. So one day I go to my mailbox to get my mail, and I see her. And she sees me, I walk out, and she's like... And I'm like, what's going on, Christina? How are you? And she's like... Fine. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she goes, what is going on up there? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, all the yelling and the breaking things... Just all night screaming. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, me and my friends play online video games. And she goes, what? And I'm like, yeah, we play like Halo and stuff. And she's like, ah, oh, thank God. And I'm like, why? Swear to God. She goes, oh, thank God. I thought you guys were shooting hardcore gay porno. True story. And I'm like, what? And she goes, I don't know. It's like, you come home drunk at like 10 o'clock at night, you and your friends will go upstairs, and then 10 minutes later I'd hear, suck my bitch. Yeah, suck my suck it. You take that, bitch. Take that, suck it. It's like, oh boy. Oh boy. That made me laugh. But then it also made me realize that I could now shoot hardcore gay porno at my house if I wanted to. Just to, like, mess with her, like, me and my friends walk out outside naked. What are you doing? We're playing video games. What's your problem? You're being a bad neighbor. It gets hot. It's exciting. I'm sorry.
Indie rock. Indie pop. 80s alternative. Country and western. Bluegrass. Gospel. On which radio station do you expect to find all of the above?
Metal.
Your local rock station?
Hip-hop.
I don't think so. The country and western station? I don't think so. The dance music station? I don't think so. The only place on the airwaves where you'll find programming as diverse as this is right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Check out